Good morning. Nice to be with you again. A few years ago, I was a bit younger. Some of you also. Others have grown, getting big and tall. It's nice. Beautiful hymn, what we just, the words that we sung, and the most beautiful thing about that hymn is to be able to live it. And it's marvelous when every week you just see how the Lord can use you to be a blessing, and that your faith is growing and just moving on. And we're going to consider a bit what Paul has to share to us. We're going to go through selected scriptures, but we'll start in Ephesians 2. In fact, at Jake's home this morning, he read this passage, not knowing that we'd start here. So it's a beautiful reminder of why we are here. And we'll consider three readies of the Apostle Paul. Another way to put it is the Apostle Paul, three readies. But we are going to start at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you are once, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom else also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we were that. And there are so many that are still that. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are reminded by Paul in these beautiful verses that we have been saved by grace, and that we walk in him every day by grace, and that we have been saved to be able to serve by grace. And considering these verses, I invite you to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 8, and we'll read slowly. I never read in my English Bible. I always read my Spanish Bible. That's why I have to kind of read slowly. Some words I know that I don't pronounce correctly. I just flip by and go. And so you better watch what I'm saying. Romans 1. And we're going to consider here some of the words of the apostle. And the first ready. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Romans 1, verse 8. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now. that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So Paul starts there, verse 8, 9, thanking his heavenly Father for all of this marvelous work of grace that God has been doing in his life and in the life of this church in Rome. And he says, therefore, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And at the end, verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So Paul was ready for service. That's the first ready. Ready for service. Ready to serve. And it's a fantastic to kind of tie all of the words of the apostle that we've just read. And there are some observations there that I want to share with you. The first one is that in this context of being ready to serve, ready to preach the gospel, the apostle does it not in his own strength, his own ideas, but considering some of the important church life issues that have to happen to be able to be effective when we serve God. The first one, the first observation is intensity in prayer. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request. The second observation is the necessity for fellowship. I long to see you, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So intensity in prayer, necessity for fellowship, and there's a third observation which is very important, opportunity to establish and equip, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. So Paul says, as much as is in me, I am ready to serve, to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, apart from the other places where he had visited. And I'm not sure who it was that was praying for an opportunity to be able to preach the gospel this week to somebody and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a friend, family, neighbor, whatever. You and I, as Paul, must be grateful to be a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. Somebody that has changed our life and means a lot to us. And that is Jesus. And wherever we move, wherever we go, we can say something. Our attitudes will say something. Our actions will be saying something about the God that we have trusted and the beautiful name of Jesus Christ who we preach. So in the local church, in the neighborhood, in our country, different countries around the nations, at home, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. There are a lot of people in the world. You know that Uruguay is considered to be a very generous country, where we've been hit by many hurricanes in the past years. So there's in fact been a tornado in one of the cities where my grandparents it served for many years. And it just went across this town, this city, and ripped everything apart. And the Uruguayans respond. It's incredible how they respond with food, with clothing, and that they go and help. And so, of course, the Church of Christ also was engaged in going. Now, we're all doing good. But there's a difference. We are all doing good works. We are all serving non-Christians and Christians. But there is a difference. Christ, whom we serve. And there's a big difference. Because we can do good and be a blessing to others like anybody else can do it. But there's a difference when we can do good and be a blessing when it's Christ doing it through us. And there's a major difference. And there's a very different impact when it's Christ doing the work through us and not us doing it. So Paul reminded this to Titus and to Timothy in two different ways, talking about two different situations. Paul tells Titus in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul told Titus to teach, be ready for every good work. And to Timothy, be ready to give. Those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty or arrogant, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So Titus receives this from Paul, be ready for every good work. Paul tells Timothy to teach others to be ready to give from what God has given them. And what a beautiful reality, ready to serve and to be willing. That's what the Cambridge Dictionary says, willing to do something good for somebody else. That's ready, what it means, ready to serve. And we have a second ready from the Apostle Paul, which is ready to suffer. I don't like that one so much. I must be sincere. I don't know about you. You may have already completed maybe a certain level in your spiritual life. I'm trying to guess. But I feel that I'm not that ready to suffer. And to suffer for the name of Christ. And to suffer whatever. And Paul in Caesarea, we are in Acts 21, if you want to go to those verses. He was staying at the house of Philip. Philip the evangelist. And he was about to depart to Jerusalem when a prophet came down from Judea. And the verse 11 says, when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, the Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when he heard these things, verse 12, both we and those who from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. So Paul is saying here, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So we could feel a bit comfortable with being ready to serve. As we said, there are a lot of people, even non-Christian, very good people, that are ready to serve and sacrifice and that are willing to do a lot of things to help other people. But to serve God, it is in Christ. And when we come down to this point, ready to suffer, it's all about Christ and suffering for Christ. Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is a church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. I now rejoice in my sufferings. So it's not just Paul saying, I am ready to suffer. If I have to suffer, And if I am suffering at this present time, I rejoice in that. That's okay. I rejoice. It's for Christ. So Paul is ready to serve and is ready to suffer. But also, and the third ready of the Apostle Paul is sacrifice. Ready for sacrifice. 2 Timothy 4, the Roman emperor was about to kill him. He was in his last days, and Paul is saying there in verse 6, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me," says Paul, "but also to all who have loved his appearing." Ready for sacrifice. And this type of sacrifice, we may be very far from it in Canada, in Uruguay. But there are some of our brethren, some of our co-workers, missionaries that are working in very difficult countries. Our home assembly in Montevideo, the capital city of Uruguay, it sent a missionary to Turkey. She's a single woman. She loves the Lord and she loves to help refugees. And that's what she has been doing. She's been ready to serve. She's been ready to suffer. And she's been ready to sacrifice. She knows that any moment, authorities could come and put her in jail. And as a church, we are praying for her constantly, that the Lord will take care of her. And she is an example of a person who's ready to serve, ready to suffer, and ready to sacrifice. And she has sacrificed a lot of things. Not her life, because now she's just arrived back to Uruguay to visit the home assembly, but to sacrifice many things of her life. And sometimes she's been hungry because she's been able to feed somebody. So that's sacrifice. She's has less clothes at times because she's been willing to give her clothes to somebody. And I wonder if that's our attitude also. When we serve, if we're just encouraged to suffer and to sacrifice of our time, our resources, things, energy, are we ready? I know that these are challenging words that we are receiving from the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we get a message of encouragement when we go through tough times. We will meditate on a passage of Scripture that will teach us of our glorious Jesus Christ. And now we are getting verses from the Bible that are just challenging us and maybe kicking the leg of our chairs, not chairs, but benches, and just kind of shaking us up. But these are the words of the apostle. Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to suffer? Are we ready to sacrifice? Church history gives us many examples of men and women that have been ready, willing to sacrifice their lives for the Lord. And Jerome was one of them. They were about to burn him alive. He was already tied to a post when who would start the fire came up close to him, and Jerome told him, "Come here and set the fire." If I would have been frightened of this moment, I would have initially never come to this place, having the freedom to escape. There was a man that was preaching the gospel and had Bibles in his hand and was giving Bibles to everybody, and he was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ. So how could I possibly be ready to serve, to suffer, and sacrifice? Sometimes I've thought that that's just for a few. For certain chosen people from God. Well, that can be discussed and studied in depth. The problem is, if I use that as an excuse, that could be dangerous. I don't even have the desire. You may be sitting there. I'm talking now here, but I could be listening the same words, and I'd be sitting there, and I'd be feeling a bit uncomfortable. I don't even have the desire to serve, to suffer, and sacrifice. I mean, I'm okay as I am. I'm comfortable. I'm doing well. That's good. I have some real neat plans for the future. I have some real good things that the Lord has blessed me with. And now, could this change in me? Do I want this to change in me? Is it possible to awaken to this call to serve, to suffer, and sacrifice for Christ? Is it worth to be radical about what we are hearing and be like Paul, willing to and ready to serve, suffer, and sacrifice? We started reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. And we were reminded that everything, all of the activity that has happened and that has been going on in our life is because Christ reached us. And when we come up to these challenges, we say, oh, I think, I don't know. Well, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's again about Christ. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians about four important things that we all know, but we are going to just go through them as a reminder, that which helps us to notice that it's not about us and our will, it's about Christ and Christ's will and what He is doing, His activity in our personal life. And they're encouraging words, I must say. The first consideration that we want to make is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a beautiful verse that we know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Well, some believers want to point to a past mistake or a sinful season of their life that renders them useless in the kingdom of God. Maybe you have met some. I have met many. And some of them are just stagnant and are just paralyzed and just seem to not be able to move on because those things are there. And this is a beautiful verse that reminds us, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Our slates have been washed clean by the blood of Christ. This is marvelous. Where true repentance has taken place, of course. We have a new nature and a new direction for our life. So we are changed by Christ. And there where everything starts, we have been changed by Christ. And in second place, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians also, chapter 3, reminds us that we are competent in Christ. And Paul made this clear in chapter 3, verse 5. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. So it's not our talent, charisma, dynamic personality that makes us effective in ministry and be able to serve and sacrifice and suffer. It's the power of Christ Jesus in all of us who have confessed His name. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we are competent in Christ. So Paul reminds us that the three readies that we considered are possibly because Christ has changed us, because we are competent in Christ, and because we are confident in Christ. Sometimes I have been confident in myself. Have you gone through the same problem? That you feel that you're confident in yourself? Well, I can do that. Well, I'm actually quite good at this, what I do, and I really like to do it also. And you just kind of get confident in yourself. And that has happened to me. Maybe I'm the only one. But we must be confident in Christ. All of us are weak vessels. Vessels. Okay, there we go. That didn't sound right. Vessels. We are all weak vessels. In 2 Corinthians also, chapter 4, Paul stated that we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. So we are fragile and we are weak, but God has empowered us. And even that, in that specific weakness that you have and that you recognize, or burden, pain, or difficulty, Paul is reminded by Christ in chapter 12, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians also, the Lord's grace is sufficient, for his power is perfected in weakness. I mean, I don't like to feel weak. I don't like to feel weak. I like to feel strong. In fact, my mother, for one birthday, some years ago, gave me a little bookmark, and it said, "Be strong." Yeah, wonderful. But it had a beautiful verse that reminded me that it was not about me. It was about Christ. And so we are confident in Christ. And we may be strong in him, even though we are weak and we feel weak and that we cannot do it. And the fourth thing that Paul reminds us, so the first one is that we are changed by Christ. We are competent in Christ. We are confident in Christ. We are compelled by Christ. We have to remind ourselves that what we are called to is a holy, eternal mission. I've heard in this trip in Canada and being down there, I have read some English books that I read. I read quite a bit of English books, but not my Bible. I read my Spanish Bible. There's a big movement of Christian families around different parts of the world, but mainly in the U.S. and Canada, that have been selling their homes to go into poor and very needy areas of different cities around the country to be able to be close to the people that have less and that could be benefited by not my good works, but also by the gospel of Jesus Christ being expressed through Christian families living amongst him. And I've rejoiced with this. This is incredible. That's being ready or willing to serve, to suffer, and sacrifice. That's a very practical thing. Somebody from MSC talking to me once a few years ago asked me if it was really that good to do short-term mission trips. And so I guess they were discussing this. And you have the pro and what's the contrary? The con, right, okay. The pro and the cons. And so, yes, it is good to have that experience because it takes you to another nation and you see other realities. The danger is that you get back home and you forget about that reality and do nothing about it. So we'll have to watch out for all of the actions, decisions that we make in our life. And these are strong words, brethren. I know that you're just feeling, oh man, he's whacking ass at us. I just don't want to do that. It's with love. But we must be honest about ourselves and just look at scriptures. Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to suffer? Are we ready to sacrifice things of our own and willingly give them to the Lord? It's not about us. It's about Christ. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that we have been changed by Christ, that we are compelled by Christ, that we are confident in Christ, and that we are competent in Christ. And all of this, and this way of living, honors God, and it's all about what God wants to do in us, to bless others, as we just sung in that hymn. So there's, I believe, a big challenge for us. We sung that beautiful hymn. I think I've sung that hymn about five times now, being in Canada. I love it. That last one, brother, that you, where are you? Not here. But that's a beautiful hymn, just to be able to be a blessing and pray with intensity that we may be a blessing to others in a week, the week that's ahead of us. So, as ambassadors of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, in that context, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Beautiful. We're ambassadors of this good news that we can share anywhere, everywhere, and however, and wherever, and you keep going. So let's pray now to finish, asking the Lord for wisdom, strength, and a bold heart and honesty, and just asking him to be able to be ready to suffer and sacrifice. We acknowledge, Lord, that in different moments of our lives, we've been able to appreciate the power of Jesus Christ working through us in spite of our own weaknesses, of how fragile we are, the problems that surround us. And we want to praise your name for that. And we want to give you thanks. But on the other hand, we recognize that there have been moments that we haven't been willing to or ready to serve, to suffer, to sacrifice. Even though that we've been changed by Christ and we're compelled by him and we know in whom we believe, but we've slowed down. Lord, we, with an open heart, we want to ask you for passion, and that we could just go the extra mile and serve, suffer, and sacrifice and honor your name on earth. We want to start right there in the intimate of our family, in our neighborhood, the city, the chapel, the country, wherever you want to take us. We want to glorify your name through our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, brothers and sisters, that you may be challenged and also encouraged by these words.